And start opening them up to the book of Jude. And I've got a message this morning that I wrestled with, that I fought with. I'm quite certain that there are times that God does not run on our calendar. He runs on his own calendar. And I've shared with the congregation before that sometimes Mother's Day, Father's Day, certain holidays, things like that, can be a real wrestling match for me, because that's not what's always in my heart, is to have a Mother's Day message or a Father's Day, and you try to make it happen anyway, and sometimes it doesn't go anywhere. Last night after I left the hospital, I've had this word running through me, and it just kept running through me last night, but it was contend. Just the word contend, and it wouldn't go away. And I'm searching, Father, what do you have? I got three or four other I think are really good ideas, great things to share, but no, they weren't it. And then this word contend, it wouldn't go away. It just stayed there. And so finally, I guess I'd put it this way: I gave in. I gave in to that, you know, and so here we go. And as I gave into it, and then this morning as I sat down and went over more scriptures and looked at them and all of that, I got it settled. I got it settled on the inside. So even though I don't have a Mother's Day message, I do have a message from the Father. I do have a message for us. And moms, you can take and easily apply this. You can easily apply it. You can use it. I've got a mom right now, and Her children are kind of being a pain. They're reaching some years, and they're just kind of being a pain. Any moms ever been there? Yeah, some moms are trying not to chuckle too hard. I know it's hurting this lady. I know she's struggling, because this is another one of those moms who gives radically to her children. I mean, she pours out. She pours out. And right now, it's like there's not even an appreciation. In this situation, the kids have a choice if they're going to be with mom on Mother's Day or not. And they're choosing not to be, maybe. Wow. You know what? This mom needs to contend. She needs to stay in there. And just, I'll get to share with her, I think, in the days to come. This isn't the end. You know, where you're at right now in raising children and being a mom, and especially for my friend, it's not the end. It's not the end. Diana and I, being parents of older children, we can remember back to days when we need to stay in there. Just needed to stay in there. And what we were in at that moment was not something there you wanted to be in. But stay in there and keep contending. Stay in there and stay after it, because we can honestly say here we are years later. And now the relationship and now the friendship that we have. And now what is so cool is now we get phone calls. Can you help? I got this and I'm going through this and I'm dealing with this. What would you say? And we can remember back years ago when what we would say was not wanted and was not welcome. But stay in there. Keep contending. Keep going for it. And this is also true in the realm of faith. If you've got your Bibles open to the book of Jude, and as you know, there's only one verse or one chapter in the book of Jude, right before Revelations. And this just kept rising up in me and rising up in me to contend. So Jude, verse 3. This is interesting. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. Now, a couple of weeks ago when I was reading this, something happened to me. Do you ever, like, sit down to write a letter to somebody, and in the process of writing that letter, something that you didn't necessarily intend? No, you're not. Maybe you are. Okay. Amen. I don't know. Anyway, the daughter's helping the mother out, right? Okay. And the mother needs it. Brantley, okay. But you ever start to write a letter to somebody or to share something with somebody, and you think you know what you're going to share, but all of a sudden something else keeps coming in, something that you weren't necessarily expecting, it keeps coming in. That's what happened with Jude here. He wants to write a letter, but then as he's in the process of writing this letter, he finds something that keeps coming up and keeps coming up. And so, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to you to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary. Go ahead and say necessary. What I think is interesting is he found it necessary. It's like, you know what? I need to share this. This is necessary. I need to write this to you. You need to hear this. This is necessary. This is important for you to hear this. I found it very necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. It's just, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you. You know, and it's not just an easy little soft suggestion. You know, you might want to think about maybe contending for the faith. No, 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 no. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. To contend earnestly to the faith. You know what? One of the biggest things in our life that we need to be going after, and I don't care who you are, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are, it doesn't make any difference. Be contending for the faith. To be going after our faith, yeah, I don't want to say that, but just to make sure that we are keeping that switch of faith turned on and growing in our faith, to make sure that that's something we're after. And I want to talk a little bit about faith, because when I talk about faith, I'm not talking about just specifically faith for one small area of life. I'm talking about faith. Faith for life. And to give you an idea of what I mean, please take in your Bibles and go to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11. Because I think if we're not careful, we can think that we only use faith for one or two categories of life, one or two areas of life. And I saw this years and years ago. I'm, you know, spirit-filled, charismatic, praying tongues, all that stuff, you know, faith and word person. You know, all of that. And in the group I grew up in, the camp that I grew up in spiritually, Kenneth Hagin Sr., Faith and Word, and other people around that, I'd often notice that when they would talk about faith, it would be in connection with two things primarily: healing and finances. That was usually it. If there was an illustration that was given or an example that was given of faith, it would be healing or finances. And then it you know, I realized, how many of you know faith is for life? Faith is for a lot more than just healing or just finances. I mean, it's for life. The just shall live by faith. Live by faith. All aspects of life, all areas of life. So when I'm talking about faith, that's what I'm talking about. All areas of life. And just here in Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to do this quickly, I do believe. Hebrews chapter 11, did you get open to that already? You did and I didn't. I was busy talking. Let me get there. Okay. You guys are just going to have to wait till I get there. Sorry. I like to be more efficient than that, but I'm not. Just real quickly, I'm going to do this. I'm going to say this verse of Scripture and go, Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the world was formed by the word of God. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not see death. Verse 7. By faith, Noah being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with a godly fear, prepared an ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive the inheritance. By faith, verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise in a foreign country, dwelling in tents. Did you notice these different things that they did by faith? Well, here's one interesting thing. How many of these things they did by faith had anything to do with receiving except for by faith we understand? Did you notice in most of these, I'm going quickly on purpose, by faith they did. They did. By faith, they did. They did things. Faith is for more than just receiving it. And I found this very interesting. Jump with me, if you would, to verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. You know, this is the first verse in Hebrews chapter 11 where faith is used in connection with receiving. Okay, you're all being pretty quiet on me. You're being pretty quiet on me. You know what? This is the first verse. All these other verses was faith was used for doing. Faith was used for going. Faith was used for accomplishing. Faith isn't just for receiving, and it is so much more than healing or finances. Amen? It is for so much more. Now, we can keep going. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. I'm going to highlight here a little bit on verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons. It's kind of interesting. What did he do? Blessed each of his sons. When? When he was dying. He's in the process of dying. And what does he do? Bless his sons. See, how many of you know for faith is for so much more? Is this making sense so far? I'm hoping we catch this part right here. I just think it's interesting. By faith, when he was dying. Well, how do you be dying and in faith at the same time? Well, if he was in faith, he wouldn't be dying. Well, we know he was in faith. Amen? We know he was in faith. How do we know that? The Bible says so. Amen. Sometimes we put faith into just a small category and let it having an impact on all of life. Have you ever heard somebody say to somebody when they're dealing with one issue of their life, well, if you had faith. Have you ever heard that? Dealing with one issue of life. And then the card gets thrown at them, you have no faith at all. Because you're not dealing with that one issue the way I think you should. Or the way I want you to. Amen. You guys are really sober or something, or I don't know what's going on here, but you doing okay? Hallelujah. Now, does that, and I'll get into some other stuff, all right? So, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel. What was he doing when he did this by faith? He was dying. Okay, so don't get locked into this. This is a point I want to make. Don't get locked into this, that if this small area of life over here, well, if this doesn't go the way I think it should, I don't have any faith. Please don't get locked into that. Do not let that little area of life dictate to you the realm of faith in your life. And this is good. This is good right now. Do you know how many people lose, give up on their faith because they got this one little area over here and then they bail on the rest of it? Turn and look at somebody and say, don't do that. Don't do that. Do not bail on your faith because something happens over here that you maybe can't explain. I'm so tempted to go to Deuteronomy 29:29. Let's just go there real fast. Deuteronomy 29:29. I think. Deuteronomy 29:29. I think this is just interesting. And here's another phrase that's really good. And remember, I'm not talking about one small particular area of faith for one particular circumstance in your life right now. I'm talking about faith as a whole, as it encompasses all of your life. Amen? And this one's really, really interesting. And it will do us good, and I think it needs to get out there more. I've heard so much. I've heard people say, well, that faith doesn't work. So-and-so tried that, and it didn't work. You know what they're doing when they do that? They're taking one small aspect of life, and because something didn't work right here, they're throwing faith out altogether. What's that old phrase? Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But how many times will people just throw faith out because one small area of life didn't go the way they thought? How many of us know people who bailed on faith because an area of life didn't go the way they wanted it to? Wow. Turn and look at somebody. This is good. I'm listening. I will not throw out all of my faith based on one little element. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. I got a friend right now looking out, seeing them here. I'm so glad they're here. I'm so glad they're not allowing one situation that happened to stop them from receiving of all the rest. But we do that. We could quit right now and go home and it'd be good if you got it. But we ain't going to do that. I got a little bit more I want to share. And besides that, we left my notes and we're over here in Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret thing belongs to the Lord. I think this is so important when you're talking about faith. The secret thing belongs to the Lord. Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. How many of you know there are some secret things? How many of you know there are some things that you won't be able to come up with an answer for? And I want to share something with you. If you don't have the answer, and God doesn't give you the answer, don't make one up. The church world has got a lot of problems because preachers came up with answers on their own, when they should have just said, I don't know. It's so true. If you don't know, you don't know. Well, I'd be embarrassed if I didn't know. Hey, we all know you don't know it all. So just go ahead and say, I don't know. Amen? I mean, this is important. This is really, really good. There are times that I don't know. But don't let what you don't know take away what you do know. That's good. That is so good. I don't know why this little thing here didn't go right. I don't know why that little thing didn't go right. But this have all been revealed to me. And I'm not going to let what I don't know take away all this. It's so important. It's so important, and a lot of people do that. I know a mom one time when she said, I'm done. I'm done raising kids. I'm done. She had enough. Problem was, she had a 14-year-old at home still. I mean, you know, she wasn't done. How many moms in here? You got a 34-year-old, and you're not done. Amen. Janine, did you say something for Heather's benefit? Yeah, I was a little bit young on the age there, wasn't I? I got to go up a little higher. Oh. The secret thing belongs to the Lord. I heard a fellow put it this way one time. We have to learn to live our faith life with an element of mystery. Mm-hmm. Don't let what you don't know rob you of what you do know. The secret thing belongs to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There's certain things God showed me. Do you know God showed me that it's His will to heal? Did you know healing is in the covenant? It is God's will for everyone to be healed. Amen. It's God's will for everyone to be saved, for everyone to be born again. Amen. That's His will. I won't let go of that. I'm not going to give an altar call and say, well, you know, God's predestined some of you to be born again, and God's predestined some of you to go to hell. So those of you that are predestined to be born again, come on up. The rest of you go to hell. I'm not doing it. There's a misunderstanding on predestination with that. Amen? There's a misunderstanding with a lot of things in the Scripture. But that which has been revealed is for us. I'm going to grab it and I'm going to walk in it. Amen? So, hallelujah. Now, I want to share something. Another story. I think we did okay there in Hebrews. Hebrews 11:6, just talking about the importance of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. How many of you know faith's important? Faith matters. It's impossible to please Him. I got to look at something. Okay, I'm just going to jump to this story. I was over in this section of the sermon is called Faith and Love. Faith and Love. I was over in Sioux Falls at a friend's house, and I was talking to some folks, and there was a gal there I'd never met before, and she was making this statement. She says, well, faith isn't important. Faith doesn't matter. All you need to know is God loves you. I mean, that's what she was saying. All you need to know is God loves you. That's what matters. That's what's important. That's all you need to know is God loves you. Just that's it. How many of you know that's not all you need to know? And in the Scripture, I'm not going to take the time to turn all these. I have the reference of them. But just go with me to start with. I'll let you go with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. How many of you know God loves everybody who's ever been born on the face of this earth? Amen. How many of you know God loves the people who have rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and are in hell for eternity? How much did His love, the fact that He loves them, did it impact their lives? Did they receive? Did they take advantage of? Did they get the blessings and the benefits and the abundance of His love or not? They didn't. God loves us all. But faith in God is how we receive from God. Faith in what He's done for us. Jesus has died for everybody. But some people say no thank you to Him. And therefore the death that He died and the life that He has for them is of no benefit to them whatsoever. Wow. Faith. Faith is so important. And I've had a number of different friends, and they just love, love, love. Well, this section is faith and love. Faith and love. Matthew chapter 8. Man, I have got to start getting to the Scriptures faster. Because you guys all beat me there, and then you're sitting there waiting for me to catch up. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. Matthew 8, verse 10. Jesus heals a centurion's servant. And when Jesus heard it, He marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great love, not even in Israel. It doesn't say that, does it? Is there anything wrong with love? There is nothing wrong. Yeah, they all say faith. I'm reading it wrong. I'm kind of trying to catch and make our brains engage. And how many of you know there is scripture after scripture? Jesus said, your love has made you well. Your love has healed you. Your love has... Now, He didn't say love, did He? What did He say? Faith! But, you know, just know God loves you. How many of you think that's an okay answer? so many situations and area of life. It's not. It's not. And I know I'm throwing out two things here at the same time this morning. Faith is absolutely vital because faith is what activates the love of God into our lives. And yet faith worketh by love. You know, you think about that verse of scripture, now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. Love is the greatest. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. Love is the greatest. I like Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So what if you don't have any hope? What's your faith going to give substance to? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And we know the verse of scripture over in Galatians, and it often gets quoted this way, faith worketh by love. Amen? So how well does your faith work if you don't have any love going? Amen? It doesn't work so good. Faith worketh by love. Faith works through love. How many of you know you need all three? Faith, hope, and love. You need all three. You can't just go ahead and kick one out. Jesus is highlighting faith in people's life. You know, he said to Jairus, don't be afraid, only love. He didn't say that. Don't be afraid, only believe. Go with me just this. You guys are going to be amazed at how fast I can bring this to an end. Or disappointed, one of the two. Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of Luke. Luke, we making sense today? You guys are, not sure about me, but you're all making sense. No, I think I'm making sense today. Book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5. This is where the four guys take the one guy and they carry him up on the roof. They tear the roof off and they let him down into the room in front of Jesus. And it's interesting. Verse 20. And when Jesus saw their love. No, it doesn't say that. But when Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus perceived their thoughts and answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up his bed, what he had been lying on, and walks on out of the room, blew him away. But we're going to make the transition here. And Jesus saw their faith. He saw their faith. He saw their actions. And it's really crazy because four of these guys weren't there to receive anything for themselves. Four of these guys are there to benefit and bless somebody else with their faith. Now here's the question. I'm going to throw this out and we'll be done in about 5 minutes maybe. Maybe even less. Can you remember ever reading in the scripture a place where Jesus said to somebody, I love you? Can you remember in the four gospels? Any place in the scripture where Jesus said to somebody, I love you, where he used those words? Anybody ever read it? Isn't it interesting? We haven't ever read those words in the scripture. Now, maybe some of the newer paraphrases and stuff like that might say that, but I think it's really interesting. Jesus never said to anybody, I love you. Yet, for thousands of years, millions of people have been inspired by his love. How is it that we know his love? By the way that he lived his life. By his action. Did Jesus see love here when he said, when he saw their faith? Did he see love? You bet he did. You bet he did. Love can really be seen when a person is living a life of faith. Amen? And then this little article I was reading, it was sent to me by Doug Jones, and a question came along. If I never said I love you to Diana, would she know that I love her? And I believe that is a great question for all of us in here. If I never told my wife, if I never told my husband, if I never told my children, if I never told the person behind the checkout stand at the grocery store, I love you, would that person know that I love them? I think that's just a great question. Jesus never said, I love you, to anyone that we read in the Gospels. But yet we know. He knew he loved people. And he's inspired the love of literally millions of people for thousands of years. Because his love was seen in his faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you get something from this today? A bunch of good stuff in there. But here's the primary one. Folks, I felt compelled to preach to you today, contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. Not just a small section, but faith. Faith for life. Faith as a whole. You know, if folks can, by faith, bless so-and-so, well, they're dying. When and where and how often can we be walking and living by faith? In how many circumstances and situations of life that are challenging and struggling, you know, and a struggle and hard, how many of them can we be walking in faith in? Turn to look at somebody and say, all of them. Amen? All of them. All of them, even though the wrestling match is there. You know, and again, you know, for moms. Maybe you got to stay in there with your children by faith. Amen? It's quiet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's quiet because people are taking in and thinking. And amen. Thank you, Michelle. You bless me. Amen. Hallelujah. Contend. How many of you go after the faith? Go after it. Go after how you treat people. I had a fun experience. Diane and I, we got to go to David's graduation this past week, Wednesday. It was fun. It was wonderful. And as you know, I don't talk a lot about trips when I go away. You didn't come here to hear me talk about me. You came here to worship God and to hear the word. Amen. On the way back, Diane and I stopped, you know, in the airport, and we're in a restaurant, and it wasn't quite certain who was going to take care of us and who was going to wait on us. And this one lady comes in and just kind of snags us and, well, I gotcha, and takes us over here. And we're sitting over at a table that right next to the bar, right next to the door that goes in and out of the kitchen. And it's on stools and not a booth. I like a booth a lot better. I like cushy chairs, all that stuff and everything. And I'm sitting there and it's like, I just don't really want to sit here. So I finally said to the gal, I said, hey, can we go over and sit in that table way over there and you still be our waitress? Because I didn't want to bail on her. And she's like, yeah, sure, that's fine. So we go into another person's section and she's waiting on us. Well, and then she got crabby. She is just crabby and nagging and I'm like, oh, this isn't what I signed up for. But I noticed the guy whose section we were in, he carried himself in such an interesting way. It was like, there's something different about this man. There's something different about him. And I just watched him, and I wanted to make contact with him. I wanted to have that. And I just had it in my heart to tip him. I did, too. And my wife tipped the lady, right? Yeah, she did. I was focused somewhere else. But I caught him as we were leaving the restaurant. And I said, you know, I just want to do this. And I open my, and he can see me start pulling money out. He goes, oh, you don't need to do that. And I said, I know. I don't need to do this. I want to do this. I said, you carry yourself in such a way. And it didn't take me but seconds in talking to him. He was a believer. He was a Christian. And you could see it. I mean, the first time I saw him, you could tell. You could tell. He goes, yeah, I pray over every table before I wait on the people. He just wanted to. So I just kept digging. I pulled out every piece of green paper I had in my wallet and gave it to him. He was a believer. But here's the point of that story. What's the point of it? It was obvious. He carried that with him everywhere he went. Even when someone is slipping in and potentially snagging one of his customers away, he didn't lose his joy. He didn't lose his peace. That presence of the Lord still just rolled off of him, just rolled out of him. So my question is, if I never said I love you, would you know that I do by just the actions? What a great question to all of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and stand up. Amen. Amen. I hope you guys got something planned fun for Mother's Day. We're going to get blessed. Our daughter Heather is coming down. And Heather's doing most of the cooking, isn't she, honey? Yep. So Heather, are you doing most of the cooking today? For those of you who are visiting, this is a mother-daughter right here. And I think Heather's cooking lunch for Janine today, right? Oh, glory to God. Amen. Folks, bless your moms. Bless your moms. And may she know that you love her without you needing to say, I love you. Amen. And then, Mark, could you do me a favor? Out there in the foyer, there's those white flowers. Kind of have that bucket ready, and maybe some of the young people in the church would like to go back there, because we're going to let you go in a bit, and have them ready to hand out to moms when they go by. Would you two young ladies like to go back and help? That'd be awesome. Amen. Yep, they can sneak out now. Yep. And then there's a couple other that went back, so going to be covered. How many of you in here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? See, I don't ever quit a Sunday morning without doing this, and I won't ever quit a Sunday morning. Folks, the best thing that can ever happen in your life is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because every one of us in this room, we've all sinned. Every one of us, without exception. Some of us a lot more than others, but you know what? That doesn't matter. All it takes is one sin that keeps us out of heaven. But Jesus Christ has made a way for us to have that sin removed and free access into heaven. And it's through Jesus, forgive me. I guess Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 says it real well. If we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. Did you know what it didn't say, that you have to confess all your sins? And how many of you know it's really a good thing you don't have to confess all your sins? Because you know what? You can't remember them all. It's not based on that. It's based on what he did. It's based on what he did. Jesus, you died on a cross for me. You shed your blood so I could be forgiven. And then God raised you from the dead because you were the perfect lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I believe that, Jesus, and I confess you as my Lord. If you're in this place and you've never done that, you can do that. You can do that right now. Would you all just say this with me together? I haven't done this in a long time, but just say this prayer with me. God, I thank you that you love this world and you gave your son Jesus so we could be forgiven, so that we could have life eternal in heaven with you. God, I'm going to do again what your word says. Jesus, your Lord, I confess you as the Lord of my life. And I do believe that God raised you from the dead. And when I do those two things, the Bible says that I'm forgiven. The Bible says I have life eternal in heaven. And the Bible says that you are rich to all those who call upon your name. I call upon your name. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me, being my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're with us today and that's the first time you've ever made that confession, that's the first time you've ever made that statement, we're going to do it this way today. We're going to do it a little bit different. I want you to make sure you tell somebody today. You know, at the end of that service, when that preacher had us make that confession and say that prayer, I did that. I did that. I confess Jesus as my Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. You tell somebody that today. You let them know. You just tell them that. Amen? Well, and with that, give somebody a hug. Love on them. Let them know how blessed they are. Let them know how wonderful they are. We're going to let you guys slip on out of here. And have a beautiful Mother's Day. And all the moms, please pick up a flower on your way out. Glory to God.